we've heard a lot about the spread of misinformation and disinformation in recent years, lies and conspiracy theories being amplified across social media. Misinformation is a big problem in English, and studies show it's even worse in Spanish. Members of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus have been calling on leaders of tech companies like YouTube, TikTok, and Meta, which owns Facebook, and now Elon Musk is head of Twitter, to come to Capitol Hill and answer questions about their efforts to quash misinformation in Spanish. Nora Benavides is among those who wants answers from the tech giants. She's director of digital justice and civil rights at Free Press, a nonprofit working to expand access to digital news, information, and the internet. And Nora Benavides, welcome. It's good to have you.
Thanks so much, Anthony. It's great to be here.
So first, give us an idea of just how extensive the problem is of misinformation in Spanish language media and social media compared to what happens in English.
Sure. We do have some major insights about the asymmetries in how much disinformation and junk exists on social media platforms in Spanish versus English. There's just so much more. And some of that is because Latinos spend twice as much time on YouTube as other non-Latino adults. They use YouTube, as an example, as their primary source for news and information. Meanwhile, companies are underinvesting in Spanish and other non-English moderation. What that means is, roughly, there are 80% of moderation spending that Facebook uses for English tools and moderators, leaving only 13% for nearly two dozen other primary languages that users engage in on the platform. On Facebook, about 9% of Facebook users actually use English. So just look at the numbers, and you see that Latinos and Spanish speakers use these platforms in greater numbers. The amount that the companies invest in to moderate and clamp down on or review Spanish content is lower than English. And so, of course, there is going to be a higher volume of junk, misleading information, conspiracy that slips through the cracks.
Wow. Okay. Sounds like a real issue here. But give me a concrete example. If I do a Google search in Spanish versus English, what's the difference in the results that I'm going to find? Give me an example of that.
You know, if you do a search in English, the things that you'll get at the top of your search result are likely to be some of the most common and recurring things that other people in English pull up. They're also likely to be more credible than what you would receive in a Spanish language search. So if you enter something in Spanish, your top few results may actually contain misleading information and be low quality sources, which also then points to the lower quality generally of information available to Spanish speakers. There are less news outlets linking and made available on Google and other search platforms. There are less radio stations providing quality information to Spanish speakers. There's really just an ecosystem here for Spanish language that is far less quality.
Right. So in terms of what kinds of misinformation we're talking about, there's the political information, there's also health-related information. And we're talking about a lot of misinformation, for example, about COVID-19 in Latino communities, right? That's a big issue, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, I don't think one of our lines is, you know, Latinos and Spanish-speaking people here in the U.S. are not monoliths. There are really very localized stories that can take hold. But there are some common themes. And one of them is really kind of predicated on distrust, that our institutions may not serve people. And COVID is a great example that has engendered so much distrust in Spanish-speaking communities. Those individuals who feel like there are questions about the vaccine, that health injuries, for example, or other heart issues, they often link to the COVID vaccine. They kind of contain kernels of credibility if you hear it. You say, well, maybe that's real. I want to learn about that. But it's so easy to kind of go down that kind of rabbit hole, and it takes hold in these communities. So much of it is because of the existing vulnerabilities within our communities.
Right. And in terms of the numbers of folks that are subjected to this stuff, I'm reading here that half of Latinos in the United States use the message app WhatsApp, for example,
yeah,
which is owned by Facebook. So how does misinformation spread on a platform like WhatsApp?
That's such a great question. You know, a lot of the lies that exist in our communities start on major platforms. So they'll really originate on YouTube or Facebook. Someone posts a video on YouTube. There are, of course, very low numbers of moderators reviewing those videos. And then what happens is the kind of story that was on YouTube moves to WhatsApp, where an individual posts something. Oh, I just saw this thing on YouTube. This is the story. And it's a network of trusted individuals. You are part of a WhatsApp chat where there can be many people in your community, some of whom you know well, and then others you don't know. So when you go onto a platform like that, there is already a higher level of trust and very implicit trust. Because half of Latinos in the U.S. use WhatsApp, that's more than any other ethnic or racial group in the entire country. And it is a platform where there is almost no fact-checking. It means that lies have open season. And so there's just rapid spread of lies on that platform because it's a community-based experience.
Right. So what would you like to see big tech companies do about this to deal with this challenge?
I mean, that's my favorite question, perhaps. You know, I've been spending the greater part of the last year trying to pressure social media companies through, you know, Free Press and with other coalitions like Change the Terms to do better. They are not even protecting users in the most basic ways in English, let alone in Spanish. And whether it is members of Congress, as you mentioned, civil society, researchers, we have all been trying to ask and work with social media companies to ascertain what they are doing in non-English languages. And we don't get very much information. It's really a black box. So the things that we're hoping to bring are levels of accountability and transparency. First and foremost, it's bringing in human moderators and telling us how many human moderators exist to review content in language. If you review content in translation, there is so much nuance and local context that gets lost. AI tools that are not being developed or resourced in the same ways that English tools are for Spanish means that that local context just falls by the wayside. And so we want human moderators in language. We want to know how many are in language, and then the development of AI tools that are also happening on par with English AI.
Right. Now, we mentioned that members of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus want to hear back from Elon Musk by next Tuesday. What do you think the chances are of that actually happening?
I am not optimistic that members will hear back from Elon Musk. He is an erratic CEO at best, vacillating between doing things by poll on Twitter, making major moderation decisions because bots and others vote on a certain decision. He has a long track record of even trolling people who he feels speak in critical ways. So I think that members have every expectation they will not hear from him. He may not respond at all, is what I ultimately think.
Why do you think the companies have been so resistant to giving out this information that you'd like to have, you and others would like to have?
You know, if we understand more about the inner workings of the platforms, they have to answer to external forces. And I think in the two options before them is to be accountable or to be able to continue business as usual. It costs less to continue with business as usual. To make meaningful changes in these companies, that is to audit their algorithms to make sure they're not discriminating against users in Spanish or on the basis of other identities, to make sure that they are providing updates to people and data access, that costs money. And they don't want to do that. The amount that they would have to invest to meaningfully adapt their practices is significant. And so in the meantime, before any regulation would force them to do otherwise, it's just easier to do nothing and to hide the ball from external communities.
Well, that's Nora Benavidez. She's a senior counsel and director of digital justice and civil rights at Free Press, a nonprofit working to expand access to information and the internet. Nora, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Anthony.